Philippians chapter 2. I want to read three verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Last Sunday, I spoke to you on what it is we join when we join the church. I tried to describe the kingdom of God, the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as it is described in the Bible. It is called the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar is what holds the truth up. That's what the church is supposed to do, be holding the truth up. And it's the foundation of the truth as well. It's described, the church in the New Testament is described as the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. That is, that's where it originated. And the blessings of heaven, little foretastes of the blessings of heaven, come to us from time to time in this kingdom of God, the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I say the church, I mean the local assembly. That's what the Bible means when it uses the word church. It means the local assembly. God's children that are united together as an organization at the local level as a Christian church. Isn't that great? And we have the honor and the privilege to meet there. And I'm going to quote Jody one more time. Brother Jody told me this morning we could call this Super Sunday. Because you know the Super Bowl. But then he said, but every Sunday is Super Sunday. It's a super great privilege and blessing to be here today, is it not? So that was last week, but what I'd like to try to talk to you about a little bit today are some of the privileges and responsibilities of being a part of the church. Brother Jason has taken that up. There are others here today that ought to take that up as well. By the way, I just want to tell you, first thing you got to do is join. Come on, don't argue with me now. First thing you got to do is join. Brother Jason showed us how last week. Anyway, enough of that. I may say something else about that in a minute. I don't know. But I want to look at Philippians chapter 2, the first three verses here, and kind of go through this if the Lord would bless. I need your prayers this morning worse than I can describe. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Well, that's enough to blow your mind, isn't it? Haven't even read the whole passage yet. Verse 3 then, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Unbelievable. This passage right here, and there are others all over the Bible, but this passage right here has so much about the privileges that we have in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also responsibilities that we have. I'm going to tell you that you can't join anything greater than the local church. There is no organization under heaven, none, that you can join that's more important or a higher privilege, or a higher honor, or more honoring to God than the local church. There's lots of great organizations out there. None higher than the local church. I used to think you had to be smart to go to Congress. Isn't that rude? That's just so rude. You know. But I'm going to tell you, and I tell you what I'd like. I'd like to have the whole group of them together and have an hour and a half to talk to them. But let me tell you, being a member of Congress is nothing compared to being a member of the Lord's church. Can you say amen? There's no comparison. What we have access to in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is far superior to anything they have access to, including their secret service. Okay. So, it's a privilege to be a member of the Church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, it's a blood-bought privilege, purchased for all of God's elect by the blood of Jesus Christ. What I mean by that is every single born-again child of God has the right, the privilege, to become a member of the Church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if they'll do what it takes. Did you know it takes guts? Courage to join the church. It takes a little bit of courage, a little oomph, gumption, whatever you want to say, doesn't it? How many of you wanted to join the church for a long time and waited and waited and waited? Brenda's raising her hand. Becky's raising her hand. And maybe some of you were waiting on the Lord to grab you by the hair of the head and deposit you down at the front. It doesn't work that way. Amen? You got to do it. Can I quote the tea towel? Suck it up, buttercup. That's Diana doctrine. I bought the tea towel for the church and going to give it to Diana in a formal ceremony when everybody's through looking at it. Anyway, but look, isn't that right? That's why when young people want to join the church, we should not discourage them. We should allow them that great privilege. When they get that fire in them, let them come on. By the way, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, allow children, suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is what? For of such is the kingdom of heaven. What a privilege it is. But with a privilege comes great responsibility. Amen. I don't know of a higher privilege for the male of the species than to be the husband of a good wife. Say amen, man. Amen. But there are also great responsibilities that come with that privilege. And I'm going to use the other side of it, although I don't know from experience, I would assume that there's no greater honor for a lady than to be the wife of a godly husband. But with that privilege comes tremendous responsibility. Amen? And obviously, there's no greater privilege for a couple than to be the parents of children. Amen. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. By the way, some quivers hold more than others. Just throw that out there. Just say it. You know, no greater privilege than having children. And what a responsibility that is. So, it should not come as a surprise to us that the privilege of being a member of the Lord's church also comes with some responsibilities. But let me throw out here also one more time the difference between a duty and a privilege. The difference between a responsibility and thinking of that responsibility as a privilege is our attitude about it. Boy, that hurts me to say that so bad because of how bad my attitude has been down through the years. Anybody else had that problem? A little bit maybe? When what I should have been thinking of as a high privilege, instead of I thought of as a duty. Are you with me? So, let us look at this passage here in Philippians. Take a look at it. If there be therefore, of course he's speaking to a local church. Isn't it interesting that the churches that are mentioned in the New Testament, about 22 in number, were every one of them local assemblies, usually in a city. That ought to tell you what the word church means in the Bible. Okay? This is to the church that was at Philippi. A local assembly in the city of Philippi. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. You talk about a privilege that comes in church membership, regular church attendance. Can you imagine? Can you even begin to describe the consolation that you have received down through the years and in your Christian experience through Christ as a member of the local church? The consolation. Have you ever been? You know what consolation means? That means relief from misery. To have your sorrows placated a little bit. To have them removed. Has that ever happened to you at church? I tell you what, to me, when I think about this, the consolation that we get in Christ, I think about it in two broad categories. First of all, on the eternal side of the ledger. I tell you, one of the greatest, maybe the greatest announcement you will ever hear as a sinner that is aware of the fact that you're a sinner, a cognizant sinner. Everybody's a sinner, but don't everybody know it? But when the little child of God is burdened down with a sense of their guilt before a holy God, burdened down with how they try to do well and fail over and over, crushed beneath the load of the guilt of their sin before a God that they know is thrice holy. When that individual hears the message of sovereign grace, it's the best thing they ever heard in their life. To know that that's the very kind of person that Jesus Christ came to die for. Paul said he came to die for sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul included himself in that. And I would love to say to you today, from the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that if you love God, believe in God, love Christ, hate sin, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are a child of God, and your sin has been put away by the blood of Jesus. Now that's as good as it gets. Now there's your consolation in Christ. Amen. But there's also a timely aspect of that. Did you know that we can actually receive forgiveness of sin while we live right here? When we bring our case before God, we confess our sin before God. That does not mean you've got to come before the church and air your laundry, but when you're talking to God, you lift your case up before God and you confess it before God. Can you believe that He'll even forgive you right here? Do you believe? What I'm telling you is, even while we live, we do not suffer what is really the just desert for our deeds. Now do we? Come on. If I had received the just desert for my deeds in my youth, I would have been stoned to death at the city gate. And I bet some of you would have been too. Would you say it's a privilege to have consolation in Christ in the local assembly? What do you say? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love. Is that a benefit? Is that a benefit of church membership? Comfort of love? Consolation in Christ is certainly a benefit of church membership. Comfort of love. Do you get any comfort from being loved? What? Becky and I were driving down the road the other day, and I don't remember where we were going. I don't remember the circumstances, but I do remember what she did. She reached over and patted me on the shoulder. That's my love language. I didn't ask for that. I didn't deserve it. She just reached over and squeezed my shoulder. You know what happened? I received comfort of love. My heart just swelled. Now, I want you to translate that over to the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where you are loved by the whole assembly. A and you are loved unconditionally by the whole assembly. And they know you're a sinner. You want to know why they know it? Because they are too. Isn't that great? To be loved by the saints of God. Our Lord and Savior Himself said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another." And over we've had people down through the years, down through the generations. The thing that has impressed people, the thing that has impressed visitors, the thing that has impressed new members about the Church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the love that flows from breast to breast. The love that is demonstrated. Isn't that great? I tell you right now, I don't want to live without it. I'm not sure I can live without it. But to move it up a whole nother level, listen, but even greater than that is when from time to time we are blessed to feel the love of God Himself. When we're meeting in worship together and the Lord manifests Himself and we can feel loved of God. Can you imagine the comfort that is to the saints of God in the household of faith? Amen. These are benefits of church membership. And let me tell you, I don't want to be mean, but there are benefits of church membership that you cannot get outside. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you the way it is. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but it's just the way it is. The Lord would not have set the church up like He did if we could get everything that's in the church outside it. I'm not trying to be mean. I say that, and Brother Harold says, "You need to quit saying that. You just need to try, you quit saying you're not trying to be mean and say, and just try not to be mean." That's what you need to do, which is right. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, I'll say something else about this comfort of love. Back to the husbands and wives. I'm absolutely convinced that the place to learn how to be a husband is in church. I'm absolutely convinced the place to learn to be a wife is in church. The way husbands learn to love their wives is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the way wives learn to love their husbands is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the way parents learn to love their children comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a mind blower? Ooh. If there be therefore, are these benefits of church membership? These are benefits, aren't they? Any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. That, my mind will now wrap around that. You may remember that Jesus Christ told the disciples one time shortly before He ascended to heaven. He told them, "I'm going away." And they all were sad. And can we not understand that? We can understand why they were sad. He was their Lord and Savior. He was the one they loved. He said, "I'm going away. But if I go away, I'm going to send another comforter." This is in John, I think, 10. I don't remember now exactly where. He said, "I'm going to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, which will lead you and guide you into all truth. In my absence," is what I understand. The Lord said, "I'm leaving, but I'm sending another comforter, the Holy Spirit, which is going to do the self same thing for you that I have done for you." Y'all with me? That's why He calls it another comforter. And this comforter that He sends, the Holy Spirit, there's an advantage, because where Christ was limited to His bodily presence, the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. Isn't that great? So even that's better. Now here's the amazing thing. From time to time, God blesses us with the presence of His Son in the person of the Holy Spirit in worship. This is what I think it means when it says the kingdom which cometh down from God out of heaven. That little foretaste of heaven which we get when we're in the local assembly. Sometimes we get it elsewhere, but most frequently I think it's in the local assembly. And the Lord comes down and we're caught up and it's as good as... And that's the times when you have to tell your friends, church was great and there's no way to really describe it to them. You can't. It's something you've got to experience, more or less. You can't hardly describe it, can you? And that is when we have fellowship with the Spirit of God. Can you imagine? Fellowship with the Spirit of God? What? Communion, fellowship, communication, blessing, give and take with the Spirit of God. Now, you say to me, well, I thought the Spirit of God is everywhere, and I thought the Spirit of God is in me, and that is all absolutely true. What I'm describing is the manifest, felt presence of the Spirit of God, whereas He's with us all the time and He's everywhere. But there's time to time when we're allowed to feel His blessed and holy and powerful presence. Amen? Would you say that's a privilege of church membership? Isn't that a privilege? That's a high privilege. I'm not sure it gets better than that. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, now this next one's a little weirder, if any bowels and mercies. Now the term bowels grosses us out. But what the word meant in 1611 was deep feelings of compassion and sympathy. You remember the story of the two ladies that had babies, and one of them killed one during the night, and I forget, just rolled over on it or whatever, and they brought the situation to Solomon, and Solomon said, give me a... You know, they're trying to figure out, one of them claimed that there was one remaining baby, and the two women claimed the remaining baby. You remember that story? And Solomon got out a sword and was, okay, we'll cut the baby in half and give both of them half a baby. Remember that? And what the scripture says is the mother's bowels were moved with mercy and compassion for the child. And she would not put up, but she said, no, give it to her. And that's how Solomon knew which one was a real mother. You remember that? That's what is meant by the term bowels. Deep stirrings of compassion that we have. Oh, are you listening? This is what's going on in the church as well. Bowels and mercies. Compassion. Like you will never, you're not going to get it anywhere else. Where else are you going to be among people that have been where you are, that suffer what you suffer, that know the weight of the sin that you bear because they bear it themselves? Where are you going to be among people who have failed just like you have failed? And who have compassion on you. And then, where are you going to be among people that when you're down and sick and whatever's going on and tragedy strikes, that you have people who have the utmost compassion for you? You can't beat it. And then it says not only just bowels and mercies. You know what mercies are? When you don't get what you ought to get. How many of you like getting some mercy once in a while? I just hang my head in shame with how much mercy I need. There is no area of my life where I don't need mercy extended to me because I don't measure up. Y'all with me? You know where you're going to get that? You're going to get that among the household of faith like you can't get it anywhere else. People have been there and done that, if I can use such terminology as that, to know what you're going through. And even if they don't know by experience what you're going through, they're going to have just the utmost compassion and sympathy and mercy upon you. Amen? Now, does this mean that we condone sin? It certainly does not mean that. But you know what it means? Even when someone's guilty of a sin, it means we look at them, listen, we look at them and we are not too severely judgmental because we know that we could be guilty of the same thing. That's a key ingredient in Christianity right there. Isn't it? Knowing that we ourselves have been tempted and are tempted and could be tempted. Right? Thus springs compassion for those that are. Amen? Thus springs mercy. And what would, of course, result from that is us trying to help that individual with whatever their problem is. Amen? Would you say that these are privileges of church membership? Would you say that? Unbelievable privileges. All right, now, those are benefits. I'm going to read verse 1 one more time, and you think of everything I've said as I read. And then they'll skip down to 2, where we start learning about some responsibilities. There are responsibilities involved in church membership. That's what scares people away sometimes, I think. Is it's a responsibility. You know, one thing, it seems to me that people, some people in the world, are just afraid of commitment, period. They're afraid of committing to this or that or the other. And I understand that. I'm afraid of it too. I'm afraid of it. 30 years ago, Brother Harold Meredith, right here in front of this pulpit. You think I wasn't afraid? I was happy as a clam. Well, I was happier than any clam ever has been. I was happier than any clam. But I was also very much afraid because I had some cognizance. Some cognizance, not full cognizance, but some cognizance of what I was entering into. Y'all remember those times as well. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Now let me ask the question that kind of is contained in that verse. Have you ever got any of that? Have you been blessed with any of that in your life in the church? Any of that ever come your way? Oh man, yeah, it's come your way. We've all been blessed by those things, have we not? Those blessed spiritual privileges. We've all been blessed by them. Then he says, if there is any of that, fulfill ye my joy. In other words, here's what you can do to make the pastor happy. Now that's a horrible thing to say, but I mean it. To make your ministry happy, to make Christ happy, to make God happy, here's what you can do. Fulfill ye my joy. Here's how you do it. And by the way, I don't say that. Okay, listen. I do not say that to you so that you will go around trying to make me happy. I say that to you because if you will do these things in honor to God, I will be happy. In fact, I'll tell you right now, I am happy to be your pastor. Am I saying I'm doing a good job? Absolutely. 1,000 times, no. I'm a pathetic, miserable failure. And I own it. So I want you to understand what I'm saying now. You do not do this for the pastor. You do this for God, for Christ. And then it makes him, makes the pastor happy. And I tell you what else, it'll make you happy too. Now that I stop and think about it, you'll be happier. By the way, I said this over and over. You know people are happier when they're happy. I know. You'd think people would. That's not rocket science, you know. In other words, okay, people that are mollygrub and grime up and down in the dumps and all that, well, they'd be happier if they'd just be happy. Say amen. Boy, isn't that true. Okay. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Like-minded. Like-minded how? Like-minded what we've just been describing. In other words, where you have been, where you have received consolation in Christ, maybe you can console another. Are you with me? Where have you been? Where you have been comforted by the love of a child of God or a saint of God, maybe you can love another. I don't know about this fellowship of the Spirit, but I'll tell you about this bowels and mercies, where somebody's had mercy on you and compassion on you, then you can return the favor and have mercy and compassion on another. It's kind of like, what do they say? You know, you rescind it on down the line, send it on down the line. You know what I'm saying? Pay it for. Thank you, Scott. You pay it for? Kind of like. I love it when y'all help me preach, by the way. Love it. Yeah, and your smiling faces and your attentiveness really helps me preach. You should try to preach to graven images. No, you shouldn't either. Now that I think about that, Don't try it. It doesn't work. You can't preach to graven images. Where'd that come from? I have no idea. Okay. Be like-minded. There's your responsibility. Got all these privileges. Our responsibility is to be like-minded. To be like-minded and to have the mind of Christ. To think more like him, more nearly like he does. Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. Having the same love. Wow. Okay. My friends, if God has loved me unconditionally, and I use the word if they're not as if not, you know, if it's questionable, God has loved, if God loves me at all, he's loved me unconditionally. If God has loved, oh, I'm so thankful his love is unconditional this morning, aren't you? Aren't you thankful you don't have to try to earn God's love? That would be an outrage. How are you going to earn something infinite? How much work do you have to do to earn something that's infinite? To earn something eternal? What? That just doesn't work. I'm so thankful his love is unconditional. And if I have received unconditional love of God, I ought to be willing to love others unconditionally. In fact, sometimes I think the greatest demonstrations of love are when we love those that are unlovable. God loved us when we were unlovable, did he not? We were the very thing he couldn't stand. In and of our nature, sinners, bankrupt, hell-deserving sinners is all in the world we were. And he loved us when we were unlovable. And I tell you something, another effect of the love of God is to make us more nearly lovable. Have you ever thought about that? God loved us when we were unlovable, and his love makes us more lovable. And in the end result of this thing, when this thing is finally over and said and done, and God's work is done, and we will have been made totally, perfectly lovable, because we'll be like Christ. Are y'all with me? Isn't that just, that's mind-blowing to me. All right, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Having the same love. Now notice, being of one accord. Now it doesn't say in one accord. Or you could go get in a Japanese vehicle and we'd all be in one accord. It doesn't say that at all. The Bible doesn't talk about being in one accord. You hear me? We're not going to go get in an accord. What this says is we're supposed to be of one accord. All of us on the same page. All of us of one accord. Doing the same thing. Pulling in the same direction. You know, churches don't do very good when some people are pulling east and some people are pulling west. We need to be all on the same page, all in the same direction. Now guess how that's going to happen? That is not going to happen when everybody asks Brother Gary what his opinion on the matter is. That's only going to happen when we're on the same page as the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Y'all hear me? You know, my feelings don't always matter. Amen? My feelings don't always matter. Remember my sermon on lukewarm Christianity? The lukewarm Christian is too worried about what he or she feels instead of what God wants. Too worried about what he or she wants instead of what God wants. Too worried about what I like instead of what does God like. Y'all with me? No. The only way we're going to be of one accord is when we're all trying to seek the will of God even above our own will. That's the only way we're going to get there. How do we learn the will of God? We're in church all the time. You with me? Boy, I cannot describe how serious it is to be a faithful regular attender at public worship. It is not only an incredible, infinite spiritual privilege, it is also a responsibility. And we forsake it. We're warned against forsaking the assembling ourselves. We're warned against that. And with good reason. Because when we do that, y'all, we miss out on all this getting on the same page. Y'all with me? The reason we need to be here all the time, and in the Word all the time, and in prayer all the time, and in fellowship all the time, the reason we need to do that so we'll all be of one accord on the same page in the kingdom of God, everybody pulling in the same direction. Isn't that right? My feelings don't always have to factor into it. You know? Let us confess that what God wants is more important than what I want. I mean, when I say what God wants, you understand what I mean by that. What God says is His will is more important than what I want. Boy, howdy. I need to learn that. Okay. And then He says, of one mind. Now, of one mind. I don't know how many of us are here today. We all got minds. See, all kind of smart-aleck remarks went through my mind when I said that. All kind of smart-aleck remarks about, you know, some of us got more mind than others and silly stuff like that. But anyway, be that as it may, we all got a mind. What's on your mind? How in the world are we going to get 100 minds of one mind? You understand what I'm saying? What? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've given up on the thermostat. I've given up on that. Thermostat, never going to be one mind on the thermostat. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about higher spiritual matters. How are all of us with our minds, our spiritual minds, even the spirit mind of Christ that we have, you know, the spiritual mind that we have given to us in regeneration, how in the world are we all of us going to be of one mind? There's only one way, and you know what it is. It's through the gospel of Christ, through the Word of God, through the revealed will of God, His last will and testament here in the Bible, in the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how we're going to be of one mind. And can you imagine there's strength in numbers, by the way? Come on, say amen. There's strength in numbers. Nothing wrong with having more people. Nothing wrong with wanting more people. So long as our motive is just the glory of God and not just having more people. But there's strength in numbers. Amen. There are. And think about all of the people on the same page, one mind. I can't imagine what could be accomplished. Can you? The problem is when we're not all of the same mind. Right? And maybe somebody gets their knickers in a twist wanting it their way rather than the Lord's way. I know that's a terrible thing to say. But y'all, when that happens, that's not right. Our will must be subordinated to God's will. That's why I've said over and over when we pray, let us end our prayers. Even when we pray for healing, even when we pray for our nation to be converted, even when we pray for all these things that look to us that they would be wonderful, let us pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because God has His reasons. And we don't always know what they are. Finally, verse 3. What a responsibility. My heavens. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know what that means? The servant of the Lord must not strive. That means he's just got to be gentle and meek and leading gently. And through vainglory, that means you don't do this in order to move yourself forward, to vaunt your own self, or to make yourself, you know, stand out in the crowd. You don't do it for that at all. In other words, right here, we're getting down to motive. We're getting down to motive here in verse 3. Y'all with me? We serve God to serve Him out of love, to advance His cause. Yes, we want to advance the cause of Christ. Say amen. We want to advance the cause of Christ. We want the church to move forward. Absolutely. We want the gospel to be spread out. We want the gospel to reach more people. We want more people to come to the knowledge of the truth. We want more people to be converted to the truth. Sure we do. That's a holy motive. Absolutely. But we don't do that to prop ourselves up. To talk about how great we are. Amen. We do that to talk about how great Christ is. How great God is. What a great gospel we've got. What a great thing God did when he established the local church for us all to be members of. Y'all with me? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Well, and right here is the, I'm not sure what this last statement is, like the essence of real Christianity. But in lowliness of mind. All right, lowliness of mind. How many of you need a little bit more of that? You know, our problem sometimes is we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, as the scripture says. I think I am important. I am so important. You just need to know how important I am. And I'm so smart. And I'm so good looking. And everything, and I know it. Y'all with me? Of course, any of us got, don't we all have, we got a little problem with ego sometimes, don't we? In other words, we're too big for our philosophical britches. Lowliness of mind. Hey, let me ask you, did not Christ exemplify lowliness of mind? And he was the creator of the universe. He took upon himself the form of a servant. Even though he thought it was not robbery to be equal with God, and it was not robbery for him to be equal with God, even though that was true, what did he do? He took upon himself the form of a servant. Lowliness of mind. That's the opposite of too big for your britches. The opposite of ego. Now, does this mean you're not aware of your gifts? It does not mean that. Does this mean you're not aware of your abilities? It does not mean that. Every one of you have gifts and abilities. Gifts given to you by God, and you should use them in the service of God. Know what they are and use them. Absolutely. I mean, I can name some of you and tell you what I think your gifts are. I won't do that. Know what your gifts are, know what your abilities are, and use them in the service of God. But do all of that with lowliness of mind. In lowliness of mind, let each, that means each one, esteem other better than themselves. Man, oh man. Wow. Now, and I'll tell you this as I close. If you and I will be real and honest about ourselves and with ourselves, it will not be too hard to think of your brothers and sisters in Christ as better than you. Are you with me? In fact, I tell you right now, it's a tremendous blessing. It's a tremendous blessing. Well, anyway, okay, I thank you for your great attention. What you're just, well, you're unbelievable to me. I'm going to give you the opportunity to join the church this morning if you'd like.